And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Here we are again, Wonderlings. I'm Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Before I get into the episode, I'd like to remind you of the many ways you can reach out to me in lieu of the podcast. You can like and follow the Facebook page at Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram at LBOM Wonder Years podcast and follow me on Twitter, Wonder Years Pod. You can also email me at lbomwonderyearspodcast@gmail.com with your memories and favorite episodes and tell me what the Wonder Years means to you. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please go to iTunes. You can rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode, and I will give you a shout out on the podcast. All right, are you ready to hear about a fun father-son bonding time between Jack and Kevin Arnold? Well, in Season 3, Episode 15, entitled The Treehouse, which aired on February 20th, 1990, Kevin and his dad decide to build a treehouse in the backyard. However, their father-son bonding is soon derailed when their work gives them a bird's-eye view of an attractive female neighbor. The episode opens with Kevin's narration of the many looks of kids, the look of two teens in love as a couple walk hand in hand down the hall, the look of rejection as the boy who was clearly dumped by this girl watches her go off hand in hand, walking by with her new love. Then we move on to a classroom setting as a boy pumps his fist in the air in victory at getting an A on his test. Or getting a good grade on his test. Then the boy behind him rubbing at his forehead defeatedly while looking at his bad grade. Then Kevin tells us about the look that's so horrifying it shocks you into stunned silence as the camera zooms down the hall and lands on Doug Porter's face. Excuse me. Kevin tries to get Doug's attention, but to no avail. Paul figures it out quickly that Doug received the sex talk and asks, when did it happen? Doug tells him, last night. Then Paul asks, was it your dad? Ew, can you imagine if his mom had given him the sex talk? That's nasty. It'd be even worse. Doug tells them he actually had to hear his dad say genitals. Oh, gross. No teenager wants to hear that word come out of their parents' mouth. At least he didn't have Doug practice putting a condom on a banana. I want to play this clip of the boys talking to Doug and then Kevin at home thinking his dad is going to start in on him with the sex talk. I'll be right back.
But there was one look that was different. A once-in-a-lifetime look. A look that said things would never be the same again.
Doug? Doug? You okay?
One glance at a face like that and you knew.
Oh, man. When did it happen?
Last night. Was it your dad?
He gave you the talk.
The talk. The old birds and bees.
I actually had to listen to my dad say genitals. Oh!
It was horrible. Too horrible to contemplate. The worst thing was no one was immune. It could strike any time, anywhere. The fatal communication.
Kevin?
It all begins with an egg.
Oh, no.
So when a man and a woman get together...
Oh, gosh.
When your mother and I...
No, no, don't drag Mom into this.
Kevin!
Huh?
Shove over.
Fortunately, my father preferred to communicate with his kids as little as possible. Still, you never knew if your luck was going to run out. Or when.
I remember when I took sex ed in fifth grade, I had to have my dad sign my permission slip for me to go. My grandma, of course, he and she kind of butted heads on the whole, she didn't want me to attend the class because being Catholic, she didn't think it was right for me to learn that in school. And my dad really had no qualms about it. I don't think he really cared. Like, okay, I'll sign this. You can go. So it was only me and one other kid that had gotten our permission slip signed. So we went over to the, I think it was another classroom or something where it was being held. And honestly, when I look back on it, the whole thing was pretty tame. They did the thing, they separated the girls and the boys. You know, us girls who watched a film strip about our changing bodies, getting our period, etc., body hair, whatever, wearing deodorant. We did watch a video of Ryan White about how he talked about how he had gotten AIDS from a blood transfusion, being that he was a hemophiliac. He also answered questions from students in the video, mentioning that you couldn't get AIDS from drinking from the same drinking fountain or the same cup. Basically, it was an exchange of bodily fluids that would transmit the disease. So, in the Arnold kitchen, we see Jack, who's off from work for a week, telling Norma that the linoleum is wearing pretty thin, and the fear is radiating through Norma. Like, he's been going through the house for the last few days, trying to fix whatever he possibly can. She's thinking, oh my god, oh no, what's he gonna do? He's gonna ruin my kitchen. The kitchen is mom's space. That's where she makes magic happen with her amazing meals. The idea of Jack tearing it all up is too frightening to comprehend. Apparently, Jack's got a week, like I said, he's got a week off from work. He's been finding whatever he can to fix to kill the boredom. So far, Kevin says he's tightened every screw on the kitchen cabinets, rewired all the lamps. Yikes, rewired? That sounds like a lot of work. And added another layer of installation to the attic. Does anyone remember, what was it? It was the Pink Panther that was the, he was like the mascot or something. I always saw him on the insulation on the back cover of it. Of course, you're not supposed to touch insulation because you'll start to itch all over, which, you know, I was told that. Norma tells him, Jack, it's just a little crack, and he ignores her, looking in the drawer for his glue. But luckily, she distracts him with a man-sized piece of bacon she holds out to him by her fingers like a bacon strip for a dog. He snatches it up and then turns his head, lasers in on the drip to the kitchen faucet. Then he's like, I just bought a new washer for that kitchen faucet. Norma asks, hey, has the paper come yet? How, you know, I thought you wanted to check the tire sales. So Jack heads off in search of the paper, commenting on how he hopes that the paper boy hit the porch this time, as Norma breathes a sigh of relief. Although, when Jack is on his way to get the paper, he quickly turns to his right. Out of the corner of his eye, he notices the hinges on Norma's china cabinet. And as soon as Norma hears her china rattle as he's opening the door, she races into the dining room as Jack looks at her and says, these hinges are going, Norma. Okay, now Norma is freaked. You don't touch the good china. Kevin goes to head back into the kitchen, but Norma stops him by grabbing him by the shoulder and turning him around to face Jack, telling him how about you and Kevin go hang out? You know, go to a movie, play catch? Jack just gives her a look like, you gotta be kidding me. Kevin again tries to make his escape, but Norma stops him as she comes up with a project the two Arnold men can do together. Why don't you guys build a treehouse? You've always talked about it. Kevin just looks at her like, oh, hell no, we ain't building no treehouse together. He eyes her skeptically, eyebrow raised. A treehouse? Jack looks at her and asks the same thing, but for a split second, he's contemplative. Kevin is 13 years old. I think he passed the treehouse stage 5 years ago. Here's a fun story of when I thought it'd be cool to build a treehouse. I think I was probably about Kevin's age. You know, yeah, I probably was too old, but I lived in the country. I had next to no friends. Plus, we had this nice tree near the back of our property that would have been perfect for a treehouse. My dad even showed potential interest in building one for me, but one day he had some men come out to, from the county, come out to trim the branches that were probably too close to the power lines. And when I got off the bus that afternoon, I looked in horror at what was left. Nothing but a stump remained. I was pissed. My dad was a little angry, too. He wanted them to trim the branches, not chop the whole tree down. Kevin looks at Norma, betrayed, and after thinking, after all he's done for her, sleeping in her house, eating her food, but Norma tells him, it'll be fun. Fun? Fun for who? She just wants Jack out of the house and away from her kitchen and china hutch. Kevin's all like, give me a break, Mom. I'm too old for a treehouse. And then he turns to Jack for support. But it looks like Jack is actually considering the idea. Jack closes the door to the china hutch and smiles at Kevin. Nonsense. You're never too old for a treehouse. His eyes light up with a twinkle I've never seen before. Like 30 years have washed away from him, and he's like a kid again. Maybe Jack never had a treehouse when he was young. Now they're at the lumber yard while Kevin's chilling on a pile of lumber. His dad buys the amount of wood he needs from the guy. Then he turns to Kevin, offering a thumbs up. Kevin tells us how basically when his dad got it in his head to start... start the project with Kevin, it meant for Kevin basically doing the boring work, holding the twine that his dad's using to strap down the car load of wood on the roof of his car. Of course, he's standing behind Jack as he's cutting a board, so he's inhaling all that sawdust. That can't be good for him, especially if it gets in his eyes. Oh my god. Basically, Kevin's kind of, he feels like he's just in the way. He's not actually participating now. Watching as his dad pretty much just takes over this whole project. Jack kills the power on the power saw as he tells Kevin that they're losing light, so they'll knock off for today. Then he calls Kevin Tiger. Aw, Daddy's got a pet name for his boy. Kevin's not having it, though. Like, I thought we were building a treehouse. Kevin tells us he didn't feel so much like a tiger, more like an elf. Alright, now we got fucking Hobson, Craig Hobson again, as he schools the boys in pornography and real women when he flashes a dirty magazine in the lunchroom. Damn, this kid has balls. It's tucked away in a folder for safekeeping, but Hobson has it open for the whole lunchroom to see. Kevin and Paul take a closer look, and then Paul freaks out and closes the cover, telling Hobson, put it away. Hobson jokes, didn't mean to scare you, Pfeiffer. He tells them that his dad looks at this stuff like all the time, and he tells them, Paul, you know, I'm sure that your dad looks at it too. Paul is clearly appalled to hear this stating, my dad's an optometrist. And so what? That means he doesn't look at stuff like that? I mean, I'm sure maybe he would if he had the chance. He is a man. He's a guy, after all. No, I'm not saying all men look at that stuff. But Hobson changes the subject when he tells Kevin that he saw him and his dad with a car roof full of lumber and asks, what are you building? A new sandbox, as he smirks. Paul takes over and explains how Kevin and his dad are building something big, a treehouse. He also comments on how Kevin and his dad are actually building something together. Not like Hobson's dad, who probably sits around jerking it to old porno mags. Well, he didn't say that. I added that. I think Hobson is jealous of Kevin's relationship with his father, always ragging on him like in the Family Car episode. Hobson scoffs, asking, so what are you, the ladder holder? In the next scene, we do see Kevin holding a ladder as his dad climbs down, complaining that he cut the piece of wood he was holding too long. Well, better than too short, otherwise you'd basically be out a piece of wood. Kevin's had enough of being the watcher. He wants to be a doer and take part in building this treehouse. As he tells his dad, "I want to help." When Jack tells him, "Well, you are helping," Kevin jumps in asking his dad to let him operate the saw. Jack takes a good long look at his son, like, should I let him? He finally relents and gives Kevin tips on how to be careful, taking the precautions needed when operating a power saw. Kevin actually does a good job as Jack inspects his handiwork. Then he pats him on the back, telling him, not too bad. As he runs his finger over the top of the cut, Jack heads up the ladder with a piece of wood, calling Kevin over once again to hold the ladder. Later that night, at the kitchen table, Norma walks into the kitchen and sees Jack and Kevin poring over plans for the treehouse. She leans against the door frame and gazes adoringly at her husband and son bonding over this project. It is really sweet. I really like that. She came in from the living room reading a book, and she's just watching. She's, aww. Because they really don't have too many bonding moments. And if you think about it, how often do you see Jack really having any real moments with Wayne and Karen? Well, you know, Karen's a girl. I understand that. But seems like Kevin is usually the one. Because, I mean, this whole show is basically Kevin's POV and his memories. All right. Well, they got the floor done. As Kevin pushes down on it, noting its stability, and Jack agrees. Yeah, it's pretty strong. It's pretty solid. All right, I want to play this sweet moment between them as they share a couple cold drinks and go over other cool add-on additions to the treehouse, like a rope ladder. All right, so here's the clip, and I'll be right back.
And our treehouse, at least the ground floor, was looking pretty darn good.
Dad.
Yeah, it does.
As Dad and I kicked back and hoisted a couple of cool ones, I had the strangest experience. Dad was talking to me, and I was listening.
A rope ladder.
We were communicating.
Not Mom can't get up on that.
That's the idea.
It was one of the nicest moments we'd ever shared, and it lasted. About 12 seconds. Now, she was just a woman, working in her garden, weeding her tomatoes. She didn't know we were there, and we'd certainly never seen her before. It was all just kind of a coincidence.
Bum, bum.
The weird thing was, it was really no big deal. Except for some reason at that moment, it was a big deal. It was horrible. We'd been 2 men at work, and suddenly everything had changed. Suddenly, we were a father and a son. And a neighbor. And there didn't seem to be room up there for the three of us.
Kev? Kev,
down went the lines of communication.
Let's take a break.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And there you had it. Yeah. 1 minute we were on top of the world, the next minute we were up a tree.
Suddenly their bonding moment is over as they hear a woman humming from next door. They stand up to get a closer look at, and the way that Jack looks at this woman in appreciation with a smile that reads, "Yes, I know I'm a married woman," or, "Yes, I know I'm a married man, but a man can look." And Kevin has the expression like he finally understands the meaning of sex in life as it hits him square in the face. This woman, let me tell you, is wearing a crop top and her breasts are on full display here. From the looks of her backyard, I mean, is she cultivating a pot farm? Jeez, those plants were really big. So their happy bonding time is over as they look at each other, snapping out of their daze and the uncomfortable realization of them seeing each other as father and son sinks in. Jack tells Kevin, why don't we take a break for a bit? And Kevin agrees, but as Kevin turns to get ready to make his way down the ladder, his ass barely grazes the top of it, sending it crashing to the ground. Oh, crap. Now they're stuck up a tree. Over the next couple of days, Kevin and his dad didn't do much talking, or really any talking for that matter, as they're sitting on opposite ends of the couch. Jack's reading the paper and Kevin's watching some TV show. Wayne comes in with a bag of chips, sitting down between them, chomping away loudly. Then he complains, do we have to watch this? Norma comes in and asks Jack and Kevin why they're not working on the treehouse. Jack tells her, well, there was a possible chance of rain in the forecast. Norma comments on how well he and Kevin have been working together. The sun is high in the sky with the birds singing, not real rain in sight at all from the sounds of it. Norma tells them, well, since you're here, you can help me choose a table setting. She tells them she has gingham, stripes, or ducks. Or they could mix and match. You know, honestly, I'd say go with a gingham over the stripes and ducks myself. Don't mix and match. That looks tacky. Jack closes his paper and nods to Kevin about, hey, how about we get out of here? It looks like it's beginning to clear up. Kevin, all decked out in protective eyewear, good call there, Jack, keep him safe, tries his hand once again at the saw, but gets distracted by that woman singing. You know, what might help? Maybe blaring some music? I'm sure they had a radio back then to play up there. Jack ends up taking over with the saw when he complains that Kevin's over the line marked on the board. This woman is really fucking up their concentration as they begin to turn on one another. Jack tells Kevin to get his hammer, but turns out the hammer is in his toolbox, which is located at the top of the platform by the ladder. And then he just tells Kevin, well, go get yours. Which he says, I left it in the garage. Then Jack snaps at him for saying, how many times do I got to tell you don't leave your tools lying around? Okay, it was in the garage. It's not like he left it on the floor of the garage. Get a damn grip on yourself, buddy. At lunch the next day, Kevin lets Paul and Hobson in on his discovery of the lady with the knockers, and the boys don't offer any support. They just drool and tell him how lucky he is, and he really needs to invest in some binoculars. That treehouse opens right into her backyard, practically, so no, I wouldn't be investing in binoculars. You're gonna look like a pervert and a stalker. Kevin and Jack decide to take a chance and start working on the treehouse. Some more in hopes that maybe the singing neighbor isn't there. And to their surprise, she isn't. This puts them in better spirits as they get to work and we see a montage set to the tune of Papa's Got a Brand New Bag by James Taylor. James Brown, I'm sorry. I don't know why that came out like that. Jack and Kevin call it quits for the day and head toward the house as on their way there, Jack slings an arm around Kevin, pulling him in close, then giving him a noogie, and then he dashes inside with Kevin chasing after him. As soon as they walk in the back door into the kitchen, their smiles instantly vanish as they see who's sitting at the table with Norma. It's the sexy neighbor lady. Norma tells Jack to check out these giant tomatoes, and you just know where Jack's mind goes. There's actually a glass bowl of tomatoes on the table. Norma tells them this is Donna, their new neighbor, and she extends her hand out for Jack to shake, but he recoils inward, telling her, well, my hands are all dirty from working, and she tells him, oh, that's okay, so are mine, and he reluctantly shakes her hand. Then Norma introduces Kevin, and he just stands there stunned until Jack nudges him, and he finally just reaches out and shakes her hand. Norma tells them that she and Donna met at the supermarket, and Donna had told Norma that she lives right behind them and mentioned how her tomatoes are really great, so Norma just put hers back at the supermarket. Basically, Donna said, well, I'll just bring some of mine over. I want to play this clip of Jack getting shy and tongue-tied around the new neighbor. So I'll be right back.
Look at the size of those tomatoes, Jack.
The singing gardener.
Yeah.
This is Donna, my husband Jack.
Nah, my hands are dirty. I've been working.
That's okay. My hands have been in the dirt all day. And that's my youngest, Kevin.
Well, hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi. Donna and I met at the supermarket. We started talking in the checkout counter. It turns out that Donna lives on Oakdale, almost right behind us.
Yeah, just a little over from here.
So she told me about her tomatoes and said she'd bring me some.
Uh-huh.
And I told the checker just to put mine back. Didn't I?
Well, then I guess I just had to bring them, huh?
Well, this was homey. I just sort of stood there, but fortunately my dad was a little more socially adept.
We break.
What, honey?
Kevin and me.
So, a little small talk? The Arnold charm?
Let's go, Kev.
It's nice to meet you.
And we were out the door.
Then he and Kevin beat a quick retreat to the backyard and continued to work on the treehouse. Kevin and his dad worked like two beavers, getting into a groove, handing nails and tools back and forth to finish as much of the treehouse as they can and get the hell out of that tree. Guess who decides to come up and make an appearance to check out the guy's handiwork but Norma? Quick on their feet, they head her off at the top of the ladder, telling her, you know, the footing's a little tricky up here, and to be careful, just as we hear Donna puttering around in her garden. Oh, fuck, this is not good. Norma finally climbs up onto the platform and is amazed by the view as Jack and Kevin try to block Donna's backyard from her view, but she squeezes between them. Then she notices and has no real words to describe her feelings, just, oh. Oh, then she mutters about, well, I need to start dinner, and climbs back down the ladder. I want to play this clip and just listen, if you can, to how uncomfortable they all are with this.
But here I come.
Norma.
Well, this is fun.
Norma, the footing up here is a little tricky.
Yeah, it's not all nailed off. You don't fall.
Oh, don't be silly. Feels sturdy to me. Oh, and just look at this view.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh.
Now, at that moment, it's possible a simple explanation would have helped. But of course, we couldn't explain. We couldn't talk about it at all.
Oh. Well, I should start dinner.
And that was that. We'd been accused, tried, and convicted. And suddenly I had this awful feeling that I knew what that sentence would be.
Son. We have to talk.
There was no escape. It had come down to this. The talk.
I actually had to listen to my dad say genitals.
Son, I think you're too old for a treehouse.
Huh?
I'm going inside.
My dad and I never had the talk, and we never finished the treehouse. I guess some things between fathers and sons are left unspoken and unfinished.
Don't we have any vegetables?
And for years after that, my mother could never say the word tomato without giving my dad a funny look.
Jack just grimaces and looks at Kevin, putting a hand on his shoulder, and tells him, "Son, we have to talk." And Kevin thinks, "Oh boy, this is it, the talk." Then his mind flashes back to Doug mentioning how his dad actually used the word genitals during the talk. But turns out Jack just tells Kevin, "You know what, I think you're too old for a treehouse." And tells him, "You know, I'm going to go inside." Yeah, he's probably going to go fix some more stuff and drive Norma up the wall. And like, although she's probably pretty pissed now what she finds what they've been, who they've been staring at for days on end all week. Well, at dinner that night, Kevin tells us that he and his dad never had the talk and they never finished that treehouse. Kevin looks at his dad and just tells us that some things are just left unspoken and unfinished. Then Wayne asks, "Don't we have any vegetables?" Norma just levels him with the coldest stare. Yeah, she threw those fucking things out. She threw those out. But she does shift her gaze to Jack like, "Do you want to tell him or should I? Why we don't have any vegetables? Why we'll probably never have tomatoes ever?" Kevin mentions how after that, his mother couldn't say the word tomato without giving Jack a funny look. Wow, how is she going to react now whenever she sees Donna? She's probably going to avoid her like the plague. Or be like, "Hey, bitch, you want to try wearing a shirt maybe? One that covers your breasts? My husband and son are over here starting to drool." And Wayne hadn't even met this woman. Can you imagine his reaction? All right, well, this episode closes on the song, "Let Me Tell You About the Birds and the Bees." See, now, I've had that song in my head since I finished writing notes for this episode. It's by Jewel Akins. So the family continues with their dinner. Then we get one last shot of the treehouse floor, and part of the wood of it snaps in half, the floor part. And then the scene cuts to black. Time for my Flower Power episode rating. I'm giving this episode 3 out of 5 Flower Power petals. 1, for this being a father-son bonding episode as Kevin and Jack work together building the treehouse. Or, well, at least they build the floor. 2, I've got to give this to Doug Porter. The expression on his face after getting the sex talk from his dad. I mean, did he give it to him that morning before school, or did it leave such a lasting impression that his face froze like that? Also, when he said genitals, I burst out laughing. 3, for the end when Norma found out Jack and Kevin's treehouse vantage point leading into Donna, their neighbor's backyard, with a clear shot of her chest. Then Norma's cold stare at Wayne when he asks if they have any, why they don't have any vegetables. And Norma's side glance at Jack, since she clearly threw those tomatoes that Donna gave them out. You know she did. I did knock 2 Flower Power petals off. 1, because Hobson had to show his face and that dirty porn mag at school. 2, because other than the treehouse thing with Jack and Kevin, nothing else was really going on outside of it other than hearing about this supposed sex talk that never took place between Kevin and his dad. Not to mention, Karen was in the scene at the very end, but she had no lines. Even Wayne had a couple. So, my Wonderling words of wisdom. I know it's uncomfortable and embarrassing for both parties, but please, parents, talk to your teens about sex and STDs and protection. Otherwise, you might find yourself becoming a grandparent before your time. Back in the day, Kevin and his siblings didn't have the resources necessary to make informed decisions about waiting and being careful like teens today do. You know, my grandma, being a Catholic, stressed heavily to me that sex should only be had after marriage. Of course, that didn't stop me from being curious at a young age. I may not have waited until marriage, but at least I waited till I was old enough and responsible enough to make a conscious decision. Here's my quote of the episode. Narrator: "My father and I never had the talk, and we never finished the treehouse. I guess some things between fathers and sons are left unspoken and unfinished." All right, I want to give a sincere thank you to all of you listeners out there, whether you listen to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other listening platforms that you may use to hear this podcast. I love giving you guys the episode recaps of the Wonder Years. Joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin and his friends Paul and Winnie and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as me giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. Join me later this week when I discuss Season 3, Episode 16, The Glee Club, which aired on February 27th, 1990. In this episode, the 8th grade boys' Glee Club can't seem to carry a tune, but a new teacher named Miss Haycock is determined to rectify that. All right, well, everyone have a wonderful week, and I'll see you later on in the week. Bye-bye.